Well, as some of you have already heard, my daughter Jocelyn finally got engaged this week. Yes, that's right, Mr. Chilliwack finally proposed. Now Jocelyn doesn't have to wait to get engaged, but she does have to wait to get married. And then I have to wait to be a grandpa. It seems like there's always something that we have to wait for. But the thing is, like most of you, I'm sure, I hate waiting. That's why technology is so focused on speed. After the church was broken into, I had to purchase a new computer because mine was taken. And the salesman that I was talking with said that about a decade ago, the pace of computer technology doubled about every 4 years. And he said that now the technology used in computers doubles closer to every year. So just when you think, what else can they possibly do with computers? They invent all kinds of new things. My new computer has facial recognition. So in order to turn my computer on, I have to stare into the screen. And now I can't get my computer on. I think it's because it doesn't recognize me with the beard. Either that or it just doesn't like the way I look. I don't know. But for all the advances we've experienced in our lifetime, there are things that we still have to wait for. I'm still waiting for that transporter from Star Trek that would allow me to be transported instantly from one place to another. That would have been pretty fun yesterday instead of traveling from Calgary at the OCC warehouse back to Swift Current. Or how about that food dispenser that immediately prepares your favorite meal? I mean, Tina's good, but she's not that good. I mean, that didn't go so good. She's not here at the first service, so I'm safe for now. Note to self, don't tell that one. All right. But waiting is just part of being human. We can't avoid it. Just think how many times in a week you hear or say the words, wait a second, or wait a minute. If only we had to wait a second or a minute, maybe that wouldn't be so bad. But sometimes we have to wait a lot longer. It takes still about 9 months for a woman to give birth to a baby. And sometimes 9 months is okay when you know that at the end of it, you'll have a healthy baby child. But what about the times when you have to wait for something that you really, really want without having any idea of how long it's going to take to get it? I thought about some of the things that we sometimes have to wait for without knowing how long we're going to have to wait. Things like finding a job. We prayed this morning for somebody that's got an interview. How about getting a raise, finding a spouse, getting pregnant, getting healthy again, for our loved ones to come to know Jesus? If any of those apply to you, you know that waiting is hard work. But we're not the only ones in history that have had to learn to wait. The people we read about in the Bible had to wait as well. After Adam and Eve's rebellion against God, sin, the curse of sin came into this world, and the Lord made various promises at different times to restore peace and reconciliation between God and people. And now, when someone makes a promise to us, I think we generally appreciate it being fulfilled as soon as possible. Because if that promise isn't fulfilled in a timely manner, then we consider the person that made that promise either to be unreliable, or we consider the value of the promise to be meaningless if we're not going to receive any benefit from it during our lifetime. But God's promise of reconciliation between God and people didn't take a second. It didn't take a minute. It didn't take a day, a week, a month, or even a year. It didn't take a decade or even a century. It took many centuries for that promise to be fulfilled. And when Jesus finally did fulfill that promise, he made another one that also hasn't been fulfilled for a couple of thousand years, namely that he would return to take us to be with him in heaven forever. Well, today, as we heard from the scripture reading, it's the beginning of Advent. And Advent is a period of waiting. The time between the last book of the Old Testament and the birth of Christ covers a span of about 400 years. And this period of time is often referred to as the silent years. And maybe you've experienced or are currently experiencing a time in your life when God seems to be silent, when his promises don't seem to be bearing any fruit. And in those times, it's easy to give up and get mad at God when what he says doesn't seem to be happening in our lives, when he doesn't give us what we want. But if we truly believe that God is who he says he is, then giving up on him isn't the answer to our struggles. Could it be that God actually has a purpose for us in the times where we have to wait? And if so, what possible purpose could there be in causing for us to wait for those promises to be fulfilled? That's what I want to look at with you this morning. So, one of the gifts that I think we can receive by waiting is the gift of a new perspective. Often when we react to a situation, we do so before taking the time to consider what other factors may be a part of that. Sometimes God makes us wait so that he can enlighten us with a new perspective. Here's some verses that address the gift of perspective. The Bible says, "Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them." "I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done." These are verses that speak to the power of perspective. "Repent then and turn to God." That's another way for changing your perspective, "so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And do this understanding the present time." Get a proper perspective, because the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. "So set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming." So when it comes to the Christmas story, the person that comes to my mind regarding a change in perspective is Mary. It certainly would take a change in perspective to be at peace with a virgin birth. After everything the angel said to her came to pass and she gave birth to Jesus, the Bible says, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." She allowed God to change her perspective. Sometimes we allow ourselves to be so busy that we don't take the time to reflect and consider what it is that God is trying to teach us through the season of waiting in our lives. So that's the first gift, the gift of perspective. Another gift that we can receive during seasons of waiting is what I call the gift of preparation. I think that's one of the reasons God gives us 9 months before a child is born. Can you imagine if one day, guys, your wife isn't feeling good, all of a sudden, boom, she had a baby. Oh my goodness. It takes time to be prepared to become a parent. And even those who have to adopt a child have to go through a process before they are able to become adoptive parents. Sometimes it can take even longer than 9 months to adopt a child. And that time isn't wasted because it gives us a chance to prepare. Part of the reason God allows us to wait is to help us prepare for what he has in store for us. And here's some verses in the Bible that speak to the gift of preparation. "Therefore, keep watch, be prepared, because you don't know on what day your Lord will come. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you don't expect him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, be prepared, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Preach the word, be prepared, in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." The characters in the Christmas story that remind me of the importance of preparation during these times of waiting in our life are the Magi. They lived far away from the city of Jerusalem. We read in the Advent account that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Now, they would have had to track down copies of the Jewish prophetic writings. Remember, there wasn't any internet back then, and they couldn't hire Purolator to deliver them a copy overnight. They would have had to study these Jewish writings, possibly translating them and investigating and exploring their meaning. And then they would have had to make preparations for the long journey in order to be able to discover Jesus. Their diligent preparation enabled them to find Jesus before the Jewish religious leaders even knew about Jesus' birth. Preparation is one of the awesome gifts that times of waiting bring. So if you find yourself in a time of waiting, you can be sure God isn't deaf. He has a reason for everything that he does. So as you wait for him to reveal that reason, keep preparing yourself by growing your character to conform more into his. Another gift that often accompanies times of waiting is the gift of patience. And that's not a gift that I have yet learned very well. But I have found that often when I try to force something to happen, patience would have been a virtue. I just usually make things worse. So here's a few reminders from the Bible of the importance of learning patience. But I pray to you, Lord, in the time of your favor, in your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. And this is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor, I will answer you. And in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Therefore, Jesus told them, "My time is not yet here. Any time will do." You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. One of the people that embodies patience in the Christmas story is Simeon. So in Luke's account of the Christmas story, this is what we read. There's a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." He was ready to go. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." And the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Patience is the ability to accept the timing of events and decisions that are beyond your ability to control. God promised Simeon that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. I wonder if Simeon had saw the Messiah or seen the Messiah when he was, like, let's say, 25 years old. Wonder how he would have felt about that. So maybe he was grateful for the wait. But as the years passed by, I wonder if he started to think, "I wonder if I've really actually heard from the Lord, or somehow maybe I misunderstood." We don't know all that went through Simeon's mind while he was waiting, but we are told that throughout the entire time, he was righteous and devout. It appears he'd learned how to trust God with the timing of things that were beyond his own ability to control. Patience allows us to enjoy life without worrying while we continue to wait upon the Lord to do what only he can do. And finally, another gift that waiting can bring is the gift of perseverance. It's easy to give up and move on to other things if we feel like we have to wait too long. Waiting helps to test how serious we are about the thing that we're waiting for. The more important something is to us, the more we're willing to persevere while we wait instead of simply giving up and moving on to other things. Here's some verses that remind us of the importance of perseverance. You need to persevere, the Bible says, so that when you've done the will of God, you'll receive what he has promised. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus' brother writes, let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, he says, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And then the writer of Revelation says, this calls for patient endurance on the part of the people of God who keep his commands and remain faithful to Jesus. Now, the person in the Christmas story who embodies the gift of perseverance, in my mind at least, is an elderly woman by the name of Anna. Luke writes that Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher, was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Even though Anna was very old, she persevered in her hope and belief in the coming of the promised Messiah. She was laser-focused in her commitment to that hope. In fact, she never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. She persevered in prayer, doing the hard work of waiting on her knees. And she spoke to anyone who would listen about the coming Messiah. She lived her life in faith of what God had promised before she was even able to see it. So what are you still waiting for? Are you trusting God even while you wait? Are you persevering in prayer as you wait expectantly for God to answer? Many times in this life, we don't have a choice about whether to wait or not. What we do have a choice, though, is what we'll do while we're waiting. Instead of focusing on what we consider to be the negative aspects of waiting, we learn from the Advent story that there are also a lot of positive aspects to waiting. So as I close the message this morning, I want to leave you with some practical ways to put these positive aspects of waiting into practice. So when it comes to the gift of perspective, we are told that Mary pondered, but the Bible doesn't say exactly how she did that. I have found that for me, a change in perspective requires silence and solitude. Because when life is going full tilt, it's too busy and too noisy to get much of a change in perspective. We're just keeping the wheels spinning. So when I need a fresh perspective, I like to get alone where I know I won't be distracted for a while so that I can reflect and ponder. Things that help me during this time is to spend time in prayer and to journal my thoughts. I don't know how Mary did that, but that's what helps me. Second, it can be difficult to know how to prepare for something that may still be unknown or unclear to you in the present moment. If there aren't clear steps that you can take to prepare for a certain change, something you can do is work at developing your character. Something I have found helpful is to regularly reflect on the passage of Scripture in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. That passage is referred to in the Bible as the fruit of the Spirit. These are the character qualities that the Holy Spirit wants to grow and mature in our lives. And sometimes, God waits to reveal His plans for us until we've developed the size of our character to match the size of His assignment. So, that's something that we can be doing as we prepare during the waiting seasons in life. Patience is part of the fruit of the Spirit, but in our culture, it seems we need extra emphasis on this character quality. Our culture is addicted to speed, but God is in no rush to help get us to the wrong destination. Simeon learned to wait patiently on the Lord's timing. And something that I find helpful when it comes to developing my patience is to meet with a role model. So I look for someone who seems to have learned more about patience than I have, and I think probably everybody here qualifies. And then I ask them questions about how they learned to develop that habit in their life. Never be too proud to ask other people for insight on how to grow in areas that are hard for you. And finally, the last area that I want to address is perseverance. We all have different areas of strength and weakness. As I've mentioned, patience for me is a weakness, but perseverance for me is a strength. If I was a dog, I'd be a pit bull. I just never quit, never give up. So if I excel in an area, it's not likely because I'm better at it than other people are, but because I persevere in it more than other people do. Some people start great, but they run out of enthusiasm and energy down the stretch. I, on the other hand, like to finish what I start. It's just part of my personality. And something that helps me to stay on track, even when it's hard, is making myself accountable to other people. It's too easy to quit when nobody else knows what it is that you're trying to do. For me, part of integrity means that people can trust you, so I take accountability seriously because it builds integrity into my character. When I say I'm going to do something, I don't want people wondering if they can believe me or not. And while you're waiting, keep accountable to somebody else so that you don't get sidetracked by all sorts of distractions and end up starting a bunch of things but never finishing any of them. Can you imagine if Jesus didn't finish what His Father sent Him to do? Then we'd only have Christmas and not Easter. But what good is Christmas without Easter? You might get a day off and some presents, but you wouldn't have eternal life with Jesus in heaven. So thank goodness Jesus persevered, and we're supposed to be like Him. Waiting is hard, but that doesn't mean it has to be bad. There are gifts to be discovered and appreciated in our times of waiting, and I hope that today's review of the Christmas story reminds you of the benefits that we can all enjoy as we wait upon the Lord. I'm going to ask the music team to come and lead us in our closing song.